Hello, welcome to a Facebook study. This is Bill Allen coming to you from downtown Tyler, Texas. Glad to have you joining in today. It is a Tuesday. We have road construction going on outside of our church building and have had all week. We have brick roads in this old section of Tyler, Texas. I think the city was formed in 1847, something like that. And I'm not sure when the original brick roads were laid, but they're redoing them this week. And so if you hear a little bit of construction noise, I promise you that's going on outside. And we're glad for it. Appreciate it. We'll be looking forward to when that is over, as always. It's a delayed gratification kind of thing, I guess. Looking forward to that. Glad to have you joining in today as we continue to work through the Daily Bible in chronological order. This is edited and compiled by Dr. F. Legard Smith, and he has done a marvelous job with this great Bible reading, Daily Bible reading tool. We've just finished the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and now we have been working through the book of Joshua. And we find ourselves, as you've been reading, if you're keeping up, then you're into the judges already. And we'll look at them starting on Thursday. There's a great cycle that's repeated throughout the book of Judges, where God's people are blessed, and then they get comfortable, and they go and fall into sin, and God allows some of their oppressors that they leave in the land to oppress them and to turn them away from the Lord into idolatry and immorality and injustice. And God sends those oppressing armies to come and to challenge them. And then they cry out to the Lord in repentance, and he sends them a leader, primarily a military leader, a regional military leader, such as Gideon or Deborah or Samson, to deliver them. And when they do, then they get the cycle starting all over again. But we're going to look at that starting on Thursday, and some very famous stories, some very hard to hear stories that are found there as well. And so welcome to my dear sister Tia and to my dear friends, the Mosleys. Glad to have you, Eric and Cindy. Always good to see these names. I have some cousins that are joining in. Always good to see y'all and to know that that you are a part of this great time of Bible study and encouragement. So as we get to today's study, I want us to remember the life and work of Joshua. He took over for Moses, as you know. Moses walked up Mount Nebo, had a beautiful panoramic view of the promised land, though he could not enter it, and never came down from that mountain. And when Joshua came down, then the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was the new leader of God's people. He led them across the Jordan River, led them through the Battle of Jericho and the next Battle of Ai, as we saw. And then throughout the book of Joshua, he leads them in one battle after another, taking over a general conquest of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies had spied out decades before that. And Joshua and Caleb, the only two who came back and said, with the Lord's help, we can do this. And the other 10 unfortunately led the Israelites astray, which caused them to wander in the wilderness under Moses' leadership and Aaron, the high priest, his brother, for 40 years. Now they are in the promised land. They have taken the land in a general sense. There are still pockets of enemies around, and some of those will never be destroyed, and they become a difficult part of the Israelites' existence, as we shall see. But I want us to think about when Joshua first became the leader of God's people. Moses told him something, God told him the same thing, and the people told him the same thing. All of them said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. As God put it, for I am with you. As Moses and the people put it, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. That's the same call for us today, to be strong and courageous, knowing that the Lord our God is with us. And so now we kind of fast forward a bit to the end of Joshua's life, to the time when he has led the people through the promised land. He has helped the 2.5 tribes on the east of the Jordan River to get rid of the enemies there and to leave their families there. And then the fighting men went across the Jordan with the rest of the nation, and they began to conquer the land there. Joshua distributed the land tribe by tribe, and then the tribes went and were responsible for taking that land. And when they needed to band together, then they did. And so now we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 22, and this is where Joshua gives his final statements of faith and address. He addresses the people, first of all, to those east of the Jordan, the Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh tribes, and he challenges them to be faithful to their God. Their God is the same God. And Joshua tells them this, "But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Just as we have found since the beginning, even in the Old Testament, God calls on his people to love him, to obey him, to follow him, and serve him with all their heart." That's not a New Testament concept. It is from the very beginning. And so Joshua calls on them to do that exact thing. And so the 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan River, as we saw, they begin to resettle, and they build a monument at the Jordan River. And it makes the ones west of the Jordan very nervous, because they think that it means that they've set up a different God. But they tell them, "No, no, no, that's not it. We have set this up as a monument and a reminder that we serve the same God, that we are the same people, that in generations to come, when they don't remember this moment in time, they will be reminded." And what a great opportunity for the tribes to come together in unity and service to the one true and living God. And then in Joshua chapter 23, he begins to address the tribes west of the Jordan River, between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea. And so Joshua tells them this, "Be very strong." Just as they had told him, as God had told him, Moses, the people at the very beginning, "Be strong and courageous." That's basically what he tells them as well. He says, "Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, for you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now." And that's what Joshua did. And that's what he led the people to do throughout his life. You know, Joshua is one of those rare Bible heroes that you just don't read very much bad about him. When he was serving as Moses' protege, when he took over the leadership, as he led the people throughout the book of Joshua in distributing the land and fighting the battles, there's only one moment early in the book of Joshua when they have a pact with some people that have come through. They claim that they are from far, far away, and so they ask for a peace treaty, and Joshua gives it to them without consulting the Lord. And it turns out it was all a ruse. They had made it all up. They had old stale bread. All their clothes were old, but they were actually neighbors that lived in that land. But the amazing thing is that when they were called on it, they told Joshua and the people of Israel, "We know that the Lord your God is going to give you this land. We know what he did in Egypt. We know what he did to the kingdoms east of the Jordan, and we know that that's what's going to happen here. And so we made a pact, we made a treaty with you to spare our lives, because we know we would have been killed otherwise." And they become servants in Israel, but their lives are spared. Again, a great reminder that the whole reason God does all of this is so that everyone in the world will hear these stories, including the Israelites, but the Egyptians and the Gibeonites, Rahab and her family, all others would know that the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, is God. And so Joshua goes on to tell them, "So be very careful to love the Lord your God." And then he gives them this warning. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Unfortunately, we see that as a very big part of the cycle in the book of Judges, as they fall into intermarriage and immorality and idolatry, worshiping the gods of the pagans in the land of Canaan. And God causes them to be oppressed and no longer have their freedom. And then they repent and cry out to him. And he sends one of those military leaders, one of the judges, to deliver them. And all is well once again, but only for a while. But Joshua calls that from the start. Moses had called it from the start. Blessings for obedience and curses and punishment for disobedience. And that's what Joshua reminds them of here. That call to remain pure. We remember that the people of God, the chosen nation of Israel, was chosen as descendants of Abraham to fulfill that promise. And that promise and that call was fulfilled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And so we don't see that same call today, but rather we see that call to faithfulness and to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. Joshua continues, "Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed." What a great statement. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened, until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. We see that happening in temporary spots during the time of the judges and afterwards during the time of the kings. The United Kingdom under King Saul and King David and King Solomon. And then when the kingdom divides, the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel, still God's people, but now divided. And we see that the Assyrians in the 8th century BC come and carry away the northern kingdom into captivity, and the southern kingdom of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem, including Solomon's beautiful grand temple in Jerusalem, carried away into captivity by the Babylonians around 600 BC. It is a tragic fulfillment of the warnings that God gave them through Moses and now also through Joshua. And that brings us to Joshua 24, and this is an incredible chapter. It's a great reminder of all of the great things that God has done, and a great challenge and a great call and a great confession of faith by this great leader, Joshua. And we'll come at the end of this passage to that great statement that you likely have in your own house somewhere. Then Joshua 24, verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem in the promised land. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." And then he recounts some history. "Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt at the bidding of Jacob's son Joseph. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time." It's important to remember our history And a part of our history is what we just read. That's the history of God's people. And it reminds us of the great deliverance that God can bring through his great power. Joshua continues, I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you, but I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. You remember that story, right? Balaam talking to his donkey that the Lord allowed to speak. That's a great story. Joshua continues. Then you crossed the Jordan east to west and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites in the land of modern-day Jerusalem. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Just as God had promised, he fulfilled that promise in the promised land of Canaan. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness, the great man Joshua says. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The great statement in Joshua 24, verse 15. He calls on them to decide who they're going to serve. And then he states unequivocally who he and his family will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's a great, great statement. And again, you probably have it in your home somewhere, or on a t-shirt or a plaque on a shelf or on a wall or something. And you probably notice as I do these Facebook classes, I've got some pictures surrounding me, some of them in the distance that are wonderful works of art or memories that I have on my wall, even a passage of scripture from the Gospel of John that was in my grandma mom's house, my dad's mother, down in southeast Texas, in Beech Grove, Texas, near Jasper. But here I have my wonderful wife, Joyce, and me. This is from 1975, the senior prom at South San Antonio High School. Still today, one of my favorite pictures. Over here, this is our grandson, Isaac. This is a wonderful print, that picture and frame that my daughter, Amy, gave me for Christmas. And with her, it's a picture of me and my three grandkids that are in Maryland right now, Samuel, Ella May, and Will. We were playing in the snow when it snowed the day we left the last time we were there. And then this one has pictures of us, Joyce and Amy and Amanda, our daughters, and also Joyce and me and our four grandchildren there at the Inn at Christmas Place, or what we call the Christmas Hotel, in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. All of these are great reminders to me. They are great reminders to me. And I can tell you that they call into my mind this great statement in Joshua 24. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's the desire that Joyce and I have for our children, for our grandchildren. I know it's the desire that you have for yours, but it won't happen accidentally. If you just leave everything to chance, chances are that won't happen. But if you do what Joshua did here, call on them to serve the Lord their God and the Lord your God, and challenge them with the same words, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The people go on and respond to Joshua, and they tell him, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua 24, verse 18. And Joshua tells them, he chides them a little bit. You're not able to serve the Lord. He knows their history. He was there with Moses. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. And he calls on them to be very careful. But the people said, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And that's the only way you can do it, choosing to serve him. As the old, not too old, but older song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's the only way it can be. You can't be forced. Jesus himself would never force you. But he calls on us to decide to serve him. And the people of Joshua's day said, we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua tells them, yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey him. It was a wonderful moment towards the end of the great man Joshua's life. As he continues, we find the message continuing on into the book of Judges. And we're going to get to some of that on Thursday. But before we do, I want us to look once again at the influence that Joshua had in Judges chapter 2, but also here in Joshua chapter 34, beginning at verse Joshua 24, beginning at verse 31. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. What a great statement of faith. That not only did Israel serve the Lord during Joshua's lifetime, they served him even after that. All of the leaders of God's people who were alive in the days of Joshua that outlived him, the people served the Lord even during that time as well. Why? Because of the influence of this great man, this great leader of God's people, this great man who stood before them all and said, "You decide who you're going to serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now from here, Joshua passes away, and he is buried in his land of inheritance. Joseph's bones that he had called on them to bring with them when they were delivered, knowing that that would happen. His bones had traveled with the people all the way through the 40 years in the wilderness wanderings, all the way through the battles that are found to take the promised land of Canaan, and then finally Joseph's bones are laid to rest as well. And then finally Eleazar, son of Aaron, who had been the high priest after his father Aaron had died, he died as well. And then his son Phinehas became a high priest and served the people and served the Lord in the promised land. And so a great new chapter begins. And it's a hard reading in the book of Judges, but it's a reading of the presence of God and the call to obey. And that call goes back to Moses, that call goes back to Joshua, and that call is still alive today, that we are called to obey the Lord and serve him with all of our hearts, and to know that he will be with us. Be strong and courageous, God says, for I, the Lord your God, am with you. And so I want us to end today with these great words from this great leader, Joshua, and remind ourselves and commit ourselves to doing exactly what this great passage says. Deuteronomy 24, beginning at verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I pray that that's the statement that you will make to your family, to your God, first of all, to yourself, to your family. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. May God bless you.